Well, good morning. Welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master, and you're listening to the Gospel Radio Network. We're glad that you have found us here. As Brian mentioned, my name is Chip Horton, and with us in studio today is one of our overseers and a regular preacher here, Richard Rutledge, the host of the Monday morning program. And we're glad you're here. We have the opportunity on yet another Wednesday to close another book. We have been closing books for the last three programs on Wednesday. And it's a privilege to really be able to make a summary statement along the way. So we're glad that you're with us. And so if you have your copies of your word in front of you, you can turn over to Deuteronomy 29, and we'll be there in a moment. We're glad that you're with us today, and saw that you were with us yesterday. We had just a minute programming glitch, and so I saw you in the chat window, but the programming didn't go out the way we thought it would. But we got it on track today, and everything's going well, and we're thankful that you're with us. The way that we normally start here on Mornings for the Master is the bulletin board. We try to keep in touch with all those things that are going on around us so that you might know how to plan your evenings, your weekends, and such, and better edify and build up your family. And so we'll launch out into those things if you are ready. Get your pencil and paper out, and let's start at the very top. What have we got, Brother Richard?
Well, still have a gospel meeting that will continue through tonight at the Atlanta Church of Christ. They have Adam Orr conducting that meeting, and it will conclude this evening. Last lesson will begin at 7 p.m. tonight. And so that is, again, at the Atlanta Church of Christ, Atlanta, Texas. Their phone number, 903-796-3371, if you need more information about that. And then right around the corner, starting Sunday after next, March 12th through 19th, the BCS congregation has their Young Men's Development Conference. This really is sort of like their gospel meeting effort as well, gospel meeting lectureship in the same series, because the daytime hours are going to be focusing on young men's training, primarily 19 to 27 in those ranges. But, you know, the invitation is out to all men who would want to come and to be a part of this. The classes are for men only during the daytime. But it's going to kick off Sunday with a series of lessons, and it will end on Sunday with a series of lessons. And then the 7 p.m. till about 9 p.m. every night, they're also going to have a series of lessons in sermonic form. And so all of those are more of their gospel meeting lectureship. Welcome everyone and encourages everyone to come and to participate with that. But, again, that's going to be March 12th through the 19th. So hopefully you can make plans to be there. You can go to bcschurchofchrist.com or call 979-744-7470 for information about that. And then the following week, the North Jefferson Church of Christ is going to be holding their gospel meeting, and their speaker is going to be John McCormack. Now, John is one of our programmers that will come on here in just a little while. He'll come on at 10:30, I think, with Simply Christian. So John will be conducting that meeting for them March 19th through the 21st, and again, that's at the North Jefferson congregation. You can give them a call, 903-572-1136, for information and a copy of that flyer. Then there's several things at the end of the month. I'm just going to pitch them out there to you. We'll give you more information as they come forward. But the 51st annual MSOP, Memphis School of Preaching Lectures, will be March 26th through the 30th. The theme is Build Your Hopes on Things Eternal. Information can be gotten by going to 901 or calling 901-751-2242 or msop.org for that. Then Chris Groda will be holding a gospel meeting March 26th through the 29th at New Boston. You know, Chris is one of the hosts of the Friday Mornings for the Master, and so that will be coming up. You can go to newbostoncofc.org or 903-628-2891 for that information. And then the Colleyville congregation, Colleyville Church of Christ, has a meeting about the same time as well. So there's going to be a lot of meetings right there that 26 through the end. There's a lot of stuff going on. The Colleyville Church of Christ has Cody Westbrook coming out. And you can go to colleyvillechurchofchrist.org or call 817-281-1681 for that information. And then the same, the following week, March 31st, is the 11th Annual Young Men's Retreat at Broken Bow and Ladies' Day in April. So we'll have more information as those get closer, but that's what we have on the board today.
And we got a meeting coming up here, too, don't we?
Yeah, and that'll be the 1st of April. We'll let you know more about that. That will be with Kerry Clark that first Sunday in April.
Wow, lots of stuff going on. Love this time of year. All right, well, we're glad to have you with us. If you have the opportunity this morning, please take advantage of our chat window and chime in as we have opportunity to go through. You don't have to throw out biblical comment. You can just step in and say hello. Let us know that you are with us. We'd be glad to have you. And we certainly salute our regular listeners that give us their mornings on a regular basis. I know Miss Frida's listening out here on the highway. Appreciate her very much. Miss Morgan always listens, and so we're glad to have you. And certainly her good son, one of our overseers, is always with us. Jody's normally out there. I know that my mother and father listen on a regular basis. So all of you that give your mornings to the TGRN network, we're certainly grateful for that. Today we launch out and finish the end of the book of Deuteronomy, and we have a couple of high points to hit along the way, and we'll try to do that as we go. But as we jump out into chapter 29, we ended yesterday with some great comments that Ryan led us in, and we continue to see throughout yesterday, and we're going to see much of the same today, really, is the idea of observing and doing. Certainly, the way I chimed in yesterday on the chat window, James 1:22, don't just be hearers, but doers, and that's the very same thing that we're seeing Moses as he instructs the people. He has given, kind of a dark picture of things that are going to happen after he is gone, and certainly the opportunity that he has before him is to warn the people of the opportunity of apostasy. This idea, I remember a great book, I believe his brother Chris led us through not too terribly long ago, it was the book of Hosea. And here is a picture that God gives of the way that he has been treated by his children. Even an adulterous relationship, and they're being warned about this. And so as we jump out into chapter number 29, notice these are the words of the covenant which the Lord God commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab beside the covenant which he made with them at Horeb. Here is a continuation, an exclamation point, if you will. And so we have these words that are coming out, and one thing that stood out for me, Brother Richard, the very first thing that I saw was verse number 4, important to us even today. The Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. They hadn't quite gotten it, I believe, is probably the force there. They're working on it. They're moving in the right direction. And I was reminded of a couple of places in the New Testament, certainly not necessarily on the same page, but, the Pharisees and those that would reject Jesus. I believe it was about John chapter 12. He said, you will not open your ears. Your heart is wax gross. Your eyes are closed. These individuals in that day had deliberately closed their eyes and had deliberately shut their ears, and their heart was wax gross. And he says, that I might not heal you. Now, these individuals here, they had been rebellious, but there was a whole generation of the rebellious that had died. And so here is the opportunity to go forward with open ears and with open eyes and with open hearts, and see the things that the Lord has already done for you. It is the case that as verse 5 continues, he said, I led you for 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old on you. Your shoes are not waxing old upon your foot. You're not eating bread, neither have drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know that I am the Lord your God. He says, look what I've done for you. And notice the magnitude of my care and my love for you. And understand that I'm the one that's leading you. And so when you get down to a passage like verse 9, here still in chapter 29 of the Deuteronomy work, he says, keep therefore the words of this covenant, do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. And so the way forward as you cross over Jordan, even under the leadership of Joshua, is obedience. Notice, forever joined by the Scriptures, by the Holy Spirit here, he says, keep the words of this covenant and do them, right? The great success story that we see in Ezra 7 and verse number 10 has everything to do with doing the commandments and statutes that are laid before us, right? And as well in Ezra 17, teaching them. And so here there is this constant reminder of the people. As you go in, remember you've got to keep the covenant. Verse 10, he says, all of you, right, are entering into the covenant, right? You remember yesterday all the amens, the affirmations that were coming out of the mouths of the people in that great amphitheater. And so here there is a call to recognize where you are and what the Lord has done for you and continue to be obedient. A great call for us even today. You remember what he's done for us in Jesus Christ, what he has provided for us. The redemption that is ours to enjoy because of the suffering Savior. And so we have this great payment that has been made even for us. Verse 15, still in this same chapter. But with him that standeth here this day, and also with him that is not here. Certainly bells went off in my mind, Richard, because I thought about Acts 2 and verse 39, the promises unto you and to yours and your children, all those that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. See, there is ramifications of our decisions. As we'll see in chapter 30 in a minute, it affects even your seed, those that have not even been born yet. And so, isn't it a comforting thought this morning as you sit in your comfortable abode and you drink your coffee and you study God's Word to notice that he has been mindful of you even before you were born? Even before you were a glimmer in your parents' eye, God was mindful of you. So we have this wonderful admonition as we start through our study today. But along the way, notice that there are plenty of warnings, and we all need warnings. Every single one of us need warnings. When we raise our children, we give them warnings. Don't touch this. Don't step there. You know, don't look at the sun. I mean, all of these things that we warn our children about are for their benefit. And notice, as we kind of peruse some of the verses, look at verse 20. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Immediately, my mind went to the admonition to Sardis, the dead church. Sardis was in such a bad shape that even the words that we might hear there in Revelation 3 and verse number 5 is to have your name blotted out. That is a scary thing to even consider. And so as we consider the idea of being blotted out, notice what we stand to receive if we do not, remember verse 9, keep and do the law. So we have this opportunity before us to see blessings and cursings, even as we continued from yesterday. And notice, again, you and I have the rest of the book. And so we know what happened. We know that, in fact, this prophecy was fulfilled because they did go whoring after other gods. The thing that was suggested even in verse 26, they went and served other gods and worshiped them, gods whom they knew not and whom they had not given and whom had not given to them. So notice that all came true because they did those things that were an abhorrence before God. You remember as the commandments opened in Exodus 20, one of the very first things he mentions is what? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And so we have this opportunity to jump into this passage this morning and notice the prophecy that is before us of exile, those 70 years that you and I know did in fact come to pass because of their disobedience. But notice that he was very open with them and told them, here's what is available to you. There's great blessings that are available to you. And so as I thought about the end of it, verse number 29, that's a verse that we quote regularly, maybe even jokingly at times, because we don't have an answer to a question. Sometimes we say from the song, farther along we'll know all about it. But in verse 29, before we close the chapter, it says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. You know, we have the same admonition in the New Testament, at least two places that I know of. I remember over in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 11, these things happen to them for examples, right? We don't need to make the same mistakes that they made, right? The same thing appears in Romans 15 and verse 4, virtually the same words. And here we have the same admonition so many years ago, right? These things belong unto us. These words, these heavenly precepts, these statutes, these commandments, they're right here in front of you. They're available to you, and you can have these rich blessings that have been mentioned if you'll just do all the words of the law. And so, again, the force that I've seen throughout even these last couple of days of our study in Deuteronomy is do the law. Do those things that are pleasing.
Chip, that's such a powerful statement. You know, a lot of times we get questions that the Scripture doesn't answer, you know, and Deuteronomy 29:29, seek things. But, you know, we have here, he says, the importance of the revealed word. You know, we have the, in 2 Timothy 3:16 or 15 even, you know, and following, because he says, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation that is in Christ Jesus. And all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be mature, perfectly furnished, perfect or thoroughly furnished for every good work. And so we have all that we need, and it's revealed. And that's what he says here. You know, okay, you can talk about some things that, you know, some curiosity questions and things of that nature. And those have not been, maybe not revealed, but there's this but statement. Mm-hmm. But those things which are revealed,
right,
belong to us, and they have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even that idea that you said a minute ago, you know, we sing the song, further along we know all about it. And, you know, we sing in that song, you know, often we wonder why these people are prospered, though they're living mm-hmm. wickedly year after year.
Mm-hmm.
We may not know why.
Right.
You know, Job was never told why that everything he went through.
Right.
You know, I mean, when you get to the end of the book, God never told him, well, here's why you went through this. Here's why you had to endure this. We may not ever be told why on some of these things that God hadn't revealed.
Right.
But he has revealed what we need to know.
Mm-hmm. I remember over in the book of Habakkuk, you know, there at the very beginning, the prophet sits there and says, Lord, how long? How long? He wants to know the answer. And he was provided an answer, obviously, but so many times we need to understand that we should be satisfied with the answer that God gives. And sometimes it's silence. Sometimes it's a yes, sometimes it's a no or a maybe. You know, at the answer of our prayers, but sometimes we just don't have that particular answer. And to spend so much time trying to figure out something that has not been revealed, you know, it's like spinning your wheels in the mud, you know. And so we need to concentrate on those things which we do have and concentrate on doing them. That's the point of verse 29, I guess, is to continually realize what God has given you and pay attention to it and do it.
And, you know, even like you said, sometimes the answer is yes, sometimes it's no. We're going to see that shortly.
Yeah.
You know, with Moses, at his, you know, with his death, and he's going to be able to see some things, but he's still not going to be able to enter, even though he, you know, God's compassion is shown to him by being this. But the answer is still no, you're not going in.
Right. Absolutely. And even along these lines of thought, as we go into chapter number 30, notice you know, the dark things that you know, have been laid before them, you know, this idea that, you know, captivity is promised to them if you fall away. But notice the silver lining, I guess, is maybe how we could say that we see in verse number 30, because there's a blessing in repentance. You know, this captivity is going to be turned away from you, as you see at the top of the chapter about verse number 3 here. He says in verse number 4, he said, even from wherever you are, the Lord God is going to fetch you out and bring you back. And so there is a bright side, you know, and it is because of repentance, you know. And the same thing that we have an opportunity to do today is to repent of those things and notice the blessings that can be ours as well. So many times we go back over to Acts chapter 8 and we see old Simon that made such a grave mistake in wanting to buy some of the Holy Spirit's power. And he was told there to repent and pray that the thought of his heart might be forgiven thee. And he says, please pray for me. And that's exactly what we go through on a regular basis, one with another. We call each other on the phone and say, please help me with a problem. We see folks come down at the invitation in our services. And what this is an opportunity to take advantage of repentance, because God expects everybody to repent. Acts chapter 17, 30 and 31. 2 Peter 3, we see all these instances where God says repentance is expected of everyone. And so here's the blessings of this repentance, you know, in the first 10 verses or so. The curses will be turned back. And notice we see a lot of this throughout the Scriptures, this whole if-then scenario. Down about verse 8, thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, and the Lord God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy land, for good. For the Lord God again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers, if, here it is, here's the contingency, if all these things belong to you, all these blessings can be yours, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Same message that we see throughout the Bible. God just intends for his people to turn unto him. But from time to time, right, Romans 3 and verse number 23, we do fail the Lord. We do miss the mark. Paul says unanimously that we all have sinned. He includes himself there. But repentance is available while we yet have breath in our bodies. And so before the day leaves us, when there is no more breath, before we are taken on to our ward, which we have done in our body, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 10, we need to take advantage of what God has provided for us, and that is repentance. And this is something that is offered even to them, if, in fact, you will turn back. And so he leaves these words with them as an encouragement, as an uplifting statement, right? We all need that comfort. Even the end of 1 Thessalonians 4 has these words. In verse 18, comfort one another. God is interested in comforting us. But notice in verse number 14, really, the rest of that chapter is just is an amazing. I told Ryan yesterday in a private conversation that was part of an expository sermon of mine years ago at school, and I still remember that sermon to this day because of this particular passage that was in there. He says, "The word, verse 14, is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it." You know, the Lord is not far from you. The Lord is right here, ready to help, ready to heal. The picture that we've seen so very often, you know, paintings of man, God's hand has not moved. It's us that move our hands away from God. We walk away from him. We make bad decisions. But he has always been right there for us, and he proves that in the propitiation, which is his son. He made that possible for us. And so they're not too mysterious to understand. We can understand them, even as Paul would tell the Ephesians, you know, when I write these things down, you can understand them, and they're not very far from you. They're right here in front of you. These things that even would be recorded on the stones that we talked about yesterday, these precepts that would be written down, the tables of stones that Moses had, those laws that would be placed into the Ark of the Covenant, they're right here in front of you, right? The God's power is right here. And so do the words of the law. They're right here. We have that moment in time. Today is the day of salvation. So take advantage of that even today. Don't wait another day to do the commandments of the Lord. And so as he closes the chapter, he has that but again, as Richard brought to our attention, even at verse 17, if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go possess it. And so here's the admonition, right? And he ends in such a powerful way in verses 19 and 20. He says, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day that I have set before you life and death. You know what that says to me? Is that he has preached the whole counsel of God unto them. He showed them the positive. He showed them the negative. He showed them life and death. And in the mouth of two or three witnesses, right? Heaven and earth. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. Therefore, choose life. And here it is, that both thou and thy seed may live. The decisions that you make today have the power to influence others even after you're gone. We make powerful decisions on a daily basis, not just about the foods that we'll eat, but the way that we will serve our God. And so he goes on and gives four fantastic points in verse number 20 about the benefit of choosing life. He says, the benefits in choosing God are these, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and thy length of days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. And so here's the benefit of obeying the commandments and doing all of the things that are passed before us here in these last couple of chapters. And so Moses, knowing that his death is at hand, knowing what is before him, he is charging the people, you know, with every ounce of energy that he has. You see the love of Moses with the people. Sure, he was aggravated from time to time, but as he intercedes for the people on so many different occasions, you can tell the love that he has for this Hebrew nation. And so here, he's, you know, I can almost, you know, pictorially in my mind see him begging on his knees, please stay faithful to God. I'm not going to be here forever. Joshua is going to take the reins. Please, please do what the Lord asks you to do. Please follow Joshua. Please don't let these horrible things befall you. And what a tender admonition it is, because, you know, as we close the book here in a few minutes, Moses will be gone, and they'll have that great memory. In chapter number 31, Moses went and spake all these words unto Israel. So notice that God said, go and speak. Moses went and spoke. And so notice the power that he's showing them now. He's reminded them already. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. They had plenty of food. They were taken care of all through those 40 years of wandering. And he says, I'm 120 years old today. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. But notice, don't be scared. Don't let this keep you from doing what is right. He says, verse 3, the Lord thy God, he will go over. Notice who's going to fight for them. Notice who's going to lead them. You know, Moses might not be there in person, but God is always there. And right, so it doesn't matter who we have there in the moment to lead us physically. We have to understand that God is always there to lead us spiritually. He will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations. And do you remember the first thing that took place after crossing Jordan? Jericho. And so here is an incredible demonstration for them as they go forward. And then you notice the second demonstration as they crossed over, and that was Ai. And Ai was a warning to them. We're going to do it God's way, not your way. You know, when we When we do things that are opposing God, there is a penalty to pay. And so notice the two lessons that they would see right off the bat as they cross Jordan, and we'll have that in future days to come in our studies here. But notice, he is the force. He, verse number 4, the Lord shall do unto them. Verse 5, the Lord shall give. Verse number 5, continuing this thought. And so what do? Moses, how are we going to act now that you're gone? He says in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And so here is a grand admonition for each of us today. You know, there are trials that come upon us. There are struggles that we face on a regular basis. But you know what? God is with us. God is leading. He is our courage. He is the provider. And he is the fighter for us. If you're in the Lord's army, you are a part of a multitude force. You cannot stand against God and win. And so be strong and of good courage. In verse 7, Moses calls Joshua and said, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage. And so here he's not only building the people up, now he's building Joshua up, you know, even before the people. This is your leader. Be strong under his leadership, because the Lord has sworn, and God always keeps his promises. A great lesson for us to always keep before us. God always keeps his promises. And so now these people are being reminded, and notice that there is going to be a remembrance. So we have this admonition before us. Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, verse number 10, in the solemnity of the year of release and the Feast of Tabernacles, where all Israel has come to appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. You see, reading of the law is absolutely important. We certainly hope that you're daily Bible readers. I bet you are. And if it is the case that you are not, then please be encouraged by this admonition. There is a benefit to reading the words of the law. There's a benefit to studying your Bible on a regular basis. And notice, verse 12, gather the people together, men and women and children, and the stranger that is within thy gates, that they may, look, hear, and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of their law. And so notice that we need to be training up our children in the way that they ought to go. We need to be training everybody with whom we have contact with, right, to hear and learn and fear and do. That's a great pattern for each of us. Training up our household, training up anybody with whom we have contact. And so here's the great standard, even as given to them today, or in that particular day. And so, As we move forward, we see this great building up of the people. This is set before you as a blessing. This is set before you as a cursing. Choose the right path. Wow, that's Matthew 7. That's the same admonition that our Lord would give us as he about comes to the end of his Sermon on the Mount. He says there's only two ways to go. So make sure you pick the right way, because a man that picks the right way is like one that builds his house on a rock. And so in these troublesome times, when the storms of life appear, when we're all faced with these, if your house is built with a rock, upon a rock, it will stand. And that's the same message that I see that they're giving here. If you'll build your house on a rock, notice that in the land that God has promised you, you will succeed. And so they are reminded of this, even as Moses is about to be gone, and Joshua is about to lead them, and they are admonished from heaven to write a song. And I was reminded, Richard, that there's power in singing. When we sing one to another, we are teaching, we are admonishing. So says the Scripture, even at Paul's hand in Ephesians 5:19, verses like Colossians 3:16. There is a benefit to singing even as the Hebrews writer would say, in the midst of the church. We have a benefit one to another. And so this song that will be uttered, even on a regular basis, will cause people to remember not only this day that is being spoken these words by Moses as he is about to disappear from their vision. Notice that these are reminders that take us all the way back into Egypt. They bring us across the Red Sea. They take us through the wilderness wanderings. And they bring us across the Jordan. And they show us what God has done for us. And so don't ever take lightly the singing that we have the opportunity to do, especially on the first day of the week. Even as we come together like we will tonight, we'll have an opportunity tonight to sing. And so think about the words that we're singing and think about those things that God has done for us. We sing about heaven. There's a place that we read of called heaven, you know. Sing those words and dream about where it is that you plan on spending your eternity. Think about what God said through his son in John 14. There's a place prepared for you, right? And so dream about those things and plan on being there. And that's exactly what I see in this song. I hope that you'll have opportunity to go through and read all of the words. But notice that they are reminded of good and bad. And any good lesson really is going to supply us with, this reproving, rebuking, and exhorting. That is a complete lesson for us, as we see here. These benefits of hearing the whole counsel of God sit before us today. And notice that all of this is incorporated in this song. So be strong, verse 23, and of good courage, I will be with thee. I think Richard has used this example on a couple of different occasions, but was it 1 Kings 2, 2 Kings 2? I can't remember the reference where the son is told, be strong and of good courage. Be a man, for crying out loud. And so we have this opportunity to see the same admonition here that Moses is given unto Joshua and unto the people, right?
1, 2, 3. 1.
1 Kings 2, 1 through 3.
Remember that.
I like that. 1, 2, 3.
But, even the idea, I mean, that's the promise we as Christians have given.
That's right.
You know, I mean, when Jesus gives the marching orders in Matthew 28, he tells us to go out into all the world, but he also says, I'm with you always. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'll be with you, and the Lord's going to be with him when he gives these, he tells the children of Israel, God's going to lead you over, and Joshua's going to lead you over.
Mm-hmm.
I think of Philippians. Paul says, when he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, mm-hmm. I say rejoice there in verse 4,
mm-hmm.
he says in verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He's near.
Good point. Absolutely. And that's what the children are being urged to recognize here. The God of heaven is going to lead you. Even as you get into chapter 32 and you hear this wonderful song, you know, compare this with like one of his psalms. You might take time today maybe in a parallel study and look at Psalm 90. There's many verses that we refer to on a regular basis. The length of thy days, and take advantage of the days that you have before you, you know, you see that even in Psalm 90. That's what he's telling them here. Take advantage of the time that you have before you and do the will of God and be reminded of the problem of turning away. You get on into the song down about verse number 20, and he says, if in fact you go forward in this apostasy, you know, the song is reminding you, guess what? God will hide his face. He says, I will hide my face from them. And again, as you know, we have the rest of the story, you would remember Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, where he says, the Lord is not slack. You know, this he's not far away. It's not that he can't help. It's not that he won't help, right? It's the fact that you have committed wrong. And even in this passage in Isaiah 59, it's the continual sin of the people. over and over, they have shamed themselves before the God of heaven. Ultimately, they have caused him to turn. It's their decisions that brought about this hiding of the face that you see here in verse number 20, that you see come to fruition even in Isaiah 59. And so all of these things are a part of the song. He says, verse number 29, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider the latter end. You know, it's something of a great importance to us to remember who we are and whose we are. And when I think about passages like 2 Peter 2, beginning at about verse number 20, it is the case that there is a possibility of forgetting whose you are, moving away, right? And it said it had been better for that person, you know, because to not have, you know, even come to where they are, because you know what? Heaven is a great place to be, and it's what we all dream about, but think how horrible hell will be for a child of God that has fallen away. It'll be that much more worse than for an individual that never knew or never obeyed. It'll be plenty bad for anybody there. But to have had a grip on it and have turned back as the swine wallowing in the mire again that was once washed, that's an opportunity that none of us wants to experience. And so notice he throws this out there in the song as well to be a reminder. Consider the latter end. Consider where you are, where you were, how far you've come. And in verse number 39, I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. He is the Almighty Jehovah. It's the same message that we see or have seen in Exodus 3 at the burning bush. He says, I am the God that's going to bring them out. I am the God who created the heavens and the earth. And so this is a great reminder, even in this song. And so as they sing this song in generations to come, it's something that would be a memorial. Ryan mentioned yesterday the apostles' admonition about reminding those that were reading on a regular basis. Peter says, long as I'm in this tabernacle, I will be reminding you of these things. And so this song would be a great reminder. And as chapter 32 ends, we see this command that Moses is going to receive, get thee up into Nebo. And he says, there it is that you're going to die. Your brother Aaron died in Hor, verse number 50. But notice he says the reason that you're going to die up there, the reason that you're not going to pass over the Jordan with the rest, verse 51, is because you trespassed against me. And so notice we see the consequences of sin. We know the wages of sin are death, Romans 6 and verse number 23. But God be thanked, right, that there is this amazing gift that we have received in Christ Jesus. He says in verse 51, because you sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. And so, verse 52, thou shalt not go thither unto the land. And you see, we pick back up again in chapter 34 with that. He follows his lead, and he goes and does just that.
You know, I got an outline years ago from a brother on this. I don't even remember who it was. I like the way that he titled it and his three main points that he used for it. Mm-hmm. But the idea was what Moses saw from Mount Nebo.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the idea of what he was able to see from up there. Now, when we think about it, he was able to go up there and take a look at the land.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, those are the obvious things that he saw. But just as you mentioned, this 48 to 52, we could call it the consequences of sin.
Mm.
So he was able to see that sin has consequences. Because when you think about the life of Moses, for the most part, I mean, it is a life of meek service. I mean, he's the meekest,
mm-hmm.
and he is the lawgiver and the servant of God. And, you know, when we look at him, I mean, you got these two heroes that really stand out. If you're going to have one that stands out in the Old Testament, it's going to have to be Moses. And in the New Testament, it's going to have to be Paul,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you look at that really just jump forward in all of the events that go on. But here it is. One sin had a consequence that would keep him out of the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
He also pointed out that we'd have to go back. But in this as well, we see the compassion of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though he couldn't go, God let him see. You know, he allowed mm-hmm. him to do that. He didn't have to.
No.
You know, the wages of sin is death.
Mm-hmm.
But the gift of God is eternal life. I mean, there's compassion that is here with God allowing him to see over there. And then finally, as you mentioned, 34, we're going to see him go in there to the point of death, the culmination of life. And that is the fact that we're all going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he goes up that mountain and he dies. That's what it tells us there in verses 4 through 6.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, Moses is getting a great opportunity now to view out. And even from Mount Nebo, I don't know if you, from that region or where he was, you'd be able to see the great city of Jericho.
Mm.
But it says they were up against that area. And here's the first obstacle that stands in the way. And he says God is going to destroy those nations.
Mm-hmm. And so even as we may, you know, think of this as such a very sad occasion, I can't help but think that, you know, Moses died with a smile on his face. I mean, he hadn't lost any of his strength. He was still a mighty individual. And yes, it was, you know, a depressing thought to consider in this particular moment in time that he wouldn't be able to go with them. But again, the many blessings that he saw before him, as you pointed out, you know, absolutely. God is good, even until the last breath that we take. Chapter 33, I won't spend an incredible amount of time there, but notice if you've paid attention through this particular reading, and I know you have, you'll see a lot of references to Genesis 49. And the reason is because back in Genesis 49, Jacob is blessing his children, and Moses is expressing much the same sentiment here in this particular passage. You'll notice that Simeon and Issachar are not mentioned here, and all the rest of them are. You mention down with Joseph, even as you would see back in Genesis 49, verses 22 to 26, Joseph is mentioned, and Ephraim and Manasseh are shown there to be the horns, verse 17, of Joseph, you know, his power. And so as you don't see a landmass there that has Joseph's name on it, you do see his imprint, and that is Ephraim and Manasseh. Half of that tribe, you would remember, of Manasseh would be on the east side of the River Jordan. And so here's this stamp. There's many prophetic things that are mentioned down through here. Again, a lot of the same stuff or the same mentions are here as well. Throughout this particular chapter. And so we just had the opportunity last Wednesday, as a matter of fact, to go through all this with Brother Richard in class. And he brought out some incredible points along the way. And so we see much the same thing noticed here. And so as the chapter ends, chapter 33, "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency." You know, a great admonition for us today. You consider, happy art thou, O church, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by Jesus Christ and the cross of salvation there, the blood that flowed for us, right? Think about the benefit that we have even today as his people. His redeemed people. And chapter 34 brings us to a good conclusion. We've spent some time with Moses in our mornings for the Master, and we've seen the life that he's led, the mediation that he has had between God and the people. We've seen his frustrations. We've seen his joys. We've seen his moments of anxiety. You remember Jethro says, "Man, you're taking too much on you. You know, you need to do some delegation." So we've seen Moses grow. We've had opportunity to see the first 40 years of his life in Egypt, the second 40 years of his life over in Midian as a farmer, And here we've seen the last 40 years of his life, even as he has led the children all the way up to the brink of crossing over that great Jordan. And so he has seen a lot. He's been through a lot. And so we have the opportunity to see him draw his last breath here. Moses went up, verse number one, which is certainly the obedience of Moses, seen from 32 and verse 49. Get thee up. Moses went up. And so even to the last moment that he would breathe on this planet, notice that Moses is obedient. He went up from the plains unto the mountain of Nebo. He did exactly what God asked him to do. And notice, the Lord showed him all the land. He had a brief moment in time where he could survey the wondrous promise of God to the north, the south, the east, the west. This is the land, verse 4, he tells him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. He says, I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. And so notice one of those wonderful things that Richard mentioned, you know, the great things that he saw from Nebo is that God keeps his promises. And that should be a great comfort for us. And so we have this great heavenly reward awaiting us if we'll keep the statutes, keep the commandments, if we'll do them. And so we need to be an obedient people too, because we see that Jesus Christ is the author unto salvation unto all them that do, all those that obey his will. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died, verse 5, in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. So notice, God is in control, right? He buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. No man knows of the sepulcher unto this day. He was 120 years old when he died. And notice, his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Strong, well, very well taken care of throughout his 120 years. And he would lay down and die, and God would bury him. What a, that's just a compassionate verse. God has taken care of his servant. The children of Israel wept 30 days in the plains of Moab, weeping and mourning. Much of the same thing you see with Jacob and Joseph. There is mourning for great leaders of God. And here is one of the great monuments in the Old Testament, the lawgiver. Right, Joshua, the son of Nun, verse 9, takes over. He is full of the spirit of wisdom. Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him. And that's a beautiful thing to observe also, that they were mindful of the words of Moses and would do what Moses asked them to do, ultimately what God had asked them to do. And notice this, there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Well, that's an epitaph. You know, at the end of our days, whether that's today or next month or in 60 years from now, you know, wouldn't that be a great thing to be able to say about you and I? A great soldier of Christ, which knew the Lord in such a personal relationship. Obviously, comes to mind a few men that have just recently passed away. Think about Curtis Cates and Garland Elkins, individuals that were certainly powerful soldiers in the army of Christ. And I can, you know, comfortably say they had a wonderful, even to use this terminology, face-to-face relationship. This personal relationship that you grow into as you study and are faithful and walk in the ways of the Lord. Stay in the light as God is in the light. And so we have many great lessons before us. One of those things, as Richard mentioned, is mortality. Each of us is going to die. Each of us is going to go the way of all the earth, unless it is the case, 1 Thessalonians 4, we are one of the lucky ones that are alive at that moment and will hear that trumpet. Even as we stand here, there's also the idea of indispensability. You know, the only indispensable subject that I see is Jesus the Christ, right? The plan of salvation could not go forward without Jesus. Notice that Joshua would die, Moses would die, Abraham would die. These individuals that were incredibly important in biblical history all had powerful roles to play, but they were not indispensable. And each of us need to understand the same thing, that we are but human. We are in a physical temple, and we will face death, and we need to do what God has asked us to do. And ultimately, as he lays down and dies here, notice that God is still in control, always has been, and always will be. Lots of wonderful lessons that we have before us today as we close the book of Deuteronomy. And we look forward to the opportunity, which is tomorrow, if the Lord wills, for Chris to open the next book in our study and go forward. And, boy, what a powerful opportunity that is. Hope that you'll stay with us as we go throughout this wonderful study in the year 2017.
You know, Chip, that's one thing as well that we look at. Now we not only close a book, but we close a section of the Old Testament. We have the books of law now, the book of books of Moses that end. And we'll go into that history phase with Chris tomorrow, opening Joshua. But I thought it was interesting, and you pointed out this, with this dying, it just comes to mind with me, is that the first book of law ends with the death of the patriarch, Joseph, basically, as he's led the children of Israel into Egypt and kept many alive. And now the last book of the law ends with the death of Moses leading the group of the children of Israel to the Promised Land.
Great bookends. Wonderful, wonderful lessons that we have before us. And so what a great benefit it's been for us to study this together today. Hope that you'll continue to listen throughout the day. Hope that you'll continue to live your mornings for the Master. And we appreciate you being with us today and chiming in on the chat window and being a part of our study today. We love each one of you. And for now, this is Chip and Richard, and we're signing off for Mornings for the Master. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember to join us each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time or catch the replay at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also contact us at mornings@tgrn.org if you have any questions we can help you with, or if you have events you would like to submit to our bulletin board, or just with general feedback about the program or network. We would love to hear from you. As we've had opportunity to spend time with the Master this morning in His Word, let's remember his words in Luke 6:46, when he said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He goes on to say in verse 47 and 48, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's show the wisdom of that builder and go now to live for the Master.